So we are going to start with the motion to extend. And for most of my debtors, it's their second chance, right? Something went wrong in their first case. And we start with looking at, does this even apply to them? So this applies to individuals in both Chapter 7s and 13s. And I think sometimes we forget about the Chapter 7 debtors who may need a motion to extend, where they had a case that was dismissed within 1 year before filing. And then timing is everything. You have 30 days in which to not just file your motion, but get a hearing in most cases. So you really have to start preparing for these before the case is even filed to know what you're going to need to be able to file that motion pretty much as soon as the case is filed. And you have to know your different judges as to what's needed for notice and hearing. Like Judge Dodd said, these things are not often contested, but if they are, you do have to be aware of what the burdens of proof are. So really the debtor has the burden of proof to show that there's been a change in circumstance, and the creditor that's opposing or the opposing party would be the party that has the proof to show that the automatic stay provision applies.
Okay, a couple of things to remember here. First of all, this is only applicable if the prior case was dismissed. If you had a prior Chapter 7 or a 13 or an 11 that was discharged, 362C3 does not go does not mean the stay goes away after 30 days. It's not applicable. Now, let me ask you this, Christina. What if the prior case was filed by the debtor's spouse, but the current filer was not a joint debtor in that case? Does this apply?
No, it does not. It's per the debtor.
Okay.
But you do have to be careful of it, because there are some debtors who will kind of do tag team filing, and you still have to disclose that on the voluntary petition, and that may raise some good faith issues. And you'll even have where the debtor filed the original case, the spouse filed the second case, and this is the debtor's, or the collectively third case for the same property. And so you do need to look at that when you're looking at, is this a potential case I want to take? What type of good faith, bad faith issues may this raise? What can I do to prepare for that? And always make sure you disclose, but kind of have something in there showing the court that, well, this time, even though it's technically only my second case, it kind of is the third against the property, it's going to be different. What can you show the court to avoid that bad faith objection?
So the debtor hits your office and says, I need to file bankruptcy. A foreclosure is scheduled on my home. Tell us what you do when they come in the door.
We have them fill out an intake form where we ask them, have you filed prior bankruptcies? But you cannot depend on that alone. We take their social security number and we run it through the national PACER system. We can't even just do the local PACER system. And we look to see how many cases they've had within the last year to see if this is going to arise. And we do this even for cases who were our clients, who were our prior clients. They just got dismissed, let's say in April. They're coming back to see us now. They want to file another case. You ask them, okay, was your last bankruptcy your bankruptcy with me? Yes. So you think you're fine. But when you go and you pull that, all of a sudden you realize they went with a competitor or they filed pro se. And so now instead of being a motion to extend, you're looking at a motion to impose. So it's really, really important that you look at that, what cases have been filed. And then I also check the docket to make sure that I can help them. If they were dismissed with prejudice, I may not be able to help them. In our district, some of the judges dismiss conditionally with prejudice, and they can refile, but only if they refile with a board certified attorney, or I look for in rem relief in a 362 order to make sure that I can help them save their home if that's what they're trying to do.
Right. You mentioned what the debtor had to show on this motion. The debtor has to make a showing that the subsequent case is in good faith, right?
That's correct.
Talk about the presumption of bad faith. When does that arise?
Well, the case is presumably not filed in good faith, but it's a rebuttable presumption, right? So the debtor can rebut this if the certain conditions have been met. So those are listed out in the code. I'm sorry, I'm just pulling up the section here. If the debtor failed to file all of their schedules, if they didn't provide adequate protection as provided by the court, or if they didn't perform under the plan. And perform under the plan is the one that we see most dismissals for. Debtors are unable to make their payments and then they get their case dismissed and now they're going to file and something has changed with their ability to make those payments. Occasionally we will get debtors who didn't file their schedules, especially if they were engaged with a petition preparer or maybe one of those online, we can help you file for bankruptcy. So that's another one where it'll come up and we have to make sure we do our homework before we file their case to get everything done properly.
All right. So let's assume the presumption of bad faith does arise. How do you rebut it?
Well, by being prepared. So I show the court that there was a change in circumstance. And I'll speak with the debtor and I'll ask them, what has changed since the last case was dismissed? And what's really important is since the dismissal of the last case. Sometimes we'll have debtors who were able to find another job during the last case. And so I have to stress to them, but we have to talk about what's different. Why couldn't we save the last case? Why is this case going to work going forward? And then I also look at the circumstances surrounding what we're trying to do in this case. Sometimes I need to talk that debtor into surrendering that 2019 Cadillac that they just purchased that they don't need, that's making their payments too high. So I can show the court that there really is a possibility that they can make it to discharge this time around. That gets really difficult right now, because it's difficult for any of my debtors, even the ones who are already in cases, to be able to tell the court what's going to happen going forward, if they're going to be able to go back to work, if they're going to be furloughed, for how long. But details is what I think is what the judges are looking for in each particular case.